Okay. All right, so we're on lesson 9, I believe. Hope, anyway. And we're going to talk about a follow-on, really, to the lust lesson. Here's our map. Let's go with that. You've seen it a number of times. We're all the way around the bottom of the tongue. Section of your mind and your body. And we're going to talk about horses a little bit today. I know that some here are fooling around with horses. I see some on Facebook. How many have actually been around horses much? Yeah, some. Okay. So, bridling. It's a term from ancient times up to the present, talking about horses. So it's a metaphor, and it's one that if you've been around horses, you can understand the use. The thing about it is we're not an agrarian society anymore, and unless you go out and pay somebody to give you horse riding lessons or you're fortunate enough to have a ranch or a farm where you can have horses, you don't get much exposure to that anymore. It used to be everybody knew about horses because you used horses in everyday living.
What is bridling? It's an act of controlling or directing or using a piece of equipment. That's the simplest form. A bridle is usually used on horses to direct them and control their movement and behavior. Although the bridle is attached to the mouth, a small part of a huge animal, maybe a 1,000-pound animal, it controls the whole body of the horse. If horses need bridles, how much more do we humans need to bridle our mouth, especially the tongue? That's what we're going to talk about today and Wednesday night. The tongue, although very small, can control and direct a person's whole life, especially if it's not controlled. So horses have this equipment called a bridle to keep them in check. What about us? What's our bridling equipment? And so as I was raised around horses, Dale and I had horses early on in our marriage. We had horses born on our place, had a horse die on our place. And so we're fairly familiar. And so the bridle, it's the first thing you break a horse to, really, is to the bridle. You lead him with a halter, but there's nothing in the mouth. But before you can do anything else, you have to get him familiar and use the bridle, which includes a bit and the mouth. And the mouth can be fairly tender, and so it's a little hinge. As the hinge, you pull back on the reins that are attached to the bridle to the bit in the bridle, it puts a little bit of pressure on the mouth, and they don't like that, and so they'll do whatever you train them to do, so you don't really pull back. You never really want to jerk back on the bridle because you could bruise the inside of their mouth. And so the little bit called a bit, the bridle, on a big old 1,000-pound horse can make them just do whatever you want them to do. And once they're trained, you hardly even have to use the reins to pull back a little bit. They kind of know from your body language and all that what you want them to do. And then a horse and rider that are together a long time, they come almost have a symbiotic relationship. And so the bridle controls a big old animal that can, if it wanted to, can really hurt you. But with the bridle and training, it makes a really good relationship. I'll tell a story. One of our horses that Dale and I had needed some medicine, I believe. And the vet came out and said, "I'm going to have to give it some medicine. And I said, okay, was that a shot? And he said, no. He said, we're gonna put a tube down its nose, down its throat, into its stomach, and put a funnel on the end of that and pour it in. And I'm going, you by yourself? And he said, no, you're going to help me. I said, the two of us are going to do that? And he said, yeah. I said, we're going to get killed? And he said, nope. Oh, okay. He said, here, I want you to put a twit around his upper lip. Just a leather thong with through a stick. Don't hurt him. Just turn it where they can feel it tightening up. And I said, well, where's the rest of the people going to help us? And he said, we don't need anybody else. Because you control the mouth, you control this horse. And it was an amazing event. I sat there and held that, they called it a twit. You little twit. Remember people say that? That's what that is. And that horse splayed out his legs like this, eyes big, and let that vet run that little plastic tube through its nose, down its throat, into its stomach, and stood there. And he put a funnel on the end of it and poured the stuff. And he said, okay, we're done. Pulled it out, and you can take the twit off. And that horse backed up and ran around a little bit and then went to eating grass. And so controlled that whole horse, that little bit of pressure on the mouth. And so it was a stark example to me about how the scriptures say with a bridle, and the Bible will talk about horses. We'll look at those, some of those scriptures, Old and New Testament, and then we'll make, well, you know, obviously the application is to us. And so we'll make that through the lesson, especially on Wednesday night, we'll make that application of how we, in a metaphorical sense, of the bridle ourselves. We don't have someone else to bridle us. We have to do it ourselves. And if we don't do it, it won't get done. I'm talking about individually to ourselves. And so as we think about this and look at this, let's remember the horse and the big old, you know, 800-pound, 1,000-pound animal, depending on the horse and the size and the age and all that. And the little bridle that really controls it without really much effort on the human's part. And so bridle the tongue and the whole body, because in the example the Bible uses about horses, you bridle the horse's mouth, and the horse will do whatever you want it to do, generally, without, you know, maybe a few exceptions, but the horse generally is not going to hurt themselves, but they'll go where you want it to go, turn when you want it to turn, stop when you want it to stop, and all those kind of things based upon the bridle and a trust in the human. And so we'll look at some of the foundation scriptures here. We're going to repeat them and refer back to them. If we do not bridle our tongue, talking about humans now, not horses, we deceive ourselves, and our religion is worthless. Really? Yep. James 1:26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one religion is useless. And so you can't have it both ways. You can't have an unbridled tongue and be acceptable to God. And that's foundational for this study. But if we bridle our tongue and do not stumble in word, because we bridled our tongue ourselves, we are able to bridle our whole body. And so that's the goal, is to bridle our tongue and then get control of it and be able to consistently control it and then bridle our whole body. And you might think back, well, that sounds kind of like the lust lesson, exactly. And so James chapter 3, verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. Yes, we do, don't we? All of us. Nobody's immune from stumbling. Nobody's sinless except Jesus. If anyone does not stumble in word, i.e. had bridled his tongue, he is a perfect man, able to also bridle the whole body. You've got control of yourself if you can bridle your tongue, if you can just do that. Because where does the evil start?
In your heart.
Yes, in your thinking machine. Yes. In your heart. Your evil starts in your heart. If you get control of that, referring back to the lesson on lust, remember we've got all these grouped together at the bottom of that graphic that Jonathan did. If you get control of that, then you can control your body because you have dominion over your own and the evil does not. But if you don't take that initiative, then it's a problem. And so that's where we go back to the James 1:26, your religion is worthless because you haven't bridled your tongue, you don't have control of your whole body. So it's very important. It goes hand in hand with the lesson on lust. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't do that, you haven't done anything. That's a strong statement. Is that true? I don't know. I think you have to do that. You have to do that before you can even start controlling your physical body and its impulses and those kind of things. You have to get that evil germ that wants you to have an unbridled tongue. And make your because it makes your religion useless or worthless. I think so. Good point. In this lesson, we study James' exhortation to bridle our tongue and bridle our whole body. All right. As we said in the little talk about horses, a bridle is used to control an animal, right? Christians exercise that control ourselves. So no one puts a bridle on us, hopefully. But we have to bridle ourselves. And so the metaphor of the horse breaks down because the horse doesn't bridle him or herself, right? The trainer does, the human does. But So that's where the metaphor breaks down a little bit. But the concept is that we must be bridled if we're going to be pleasing to God, and therefore we have to do it ourselves. And because that germ of evil starts in our own mind, that's where we've got to start wage the battle. The second half of Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the thinking machine, the mouth speaks. And so, if we don't control what's in the abundance of the heart or in our minds, if we fill it with things we shouldn't fill it with and dwell on things we shouldn't dwell on, then our tongue won't be bridled. And there are folks who try to cover up those things that are going on in their mind and not say things that would indicate what they're thinking. But it's tough to do, and so you're kind of living a double life there. You're kind of wanting to deceive people to think that you're in control and that you've got control of your mind and your body when actually you don't. You're just spending a lot of energy and time trying to cover it up. And so that's where a lot of people find themselves. Is they want to live this way, or they're living that way, but they want to appear to be living this way, and so then you're stuck with trying to be an actor in a play when you're not really the person that you're acting out to be. Yeah. And you can't help but do that. Right?
Can't straddle the fence.
That's right. Yeah. Excellent point. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Actually, 15.
Yeah.
The point that James is making is that if you can control your tongue, which you can, then you demonstrate self-control.
Right.
And if you can practice self-control, then you can practice self-control in every aspect. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the mouth is the hardest thing to control. I wouldn't say so. I'd say that the hardest thing to control are the carnal lusts. Developing a hatred for those lusts and the carnal man, and a love for the divine man.
Yep. Excellent. Good. Thank you for that scripture and those comments. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Yeah, the Bible that we use or need to use is God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible will come and stuff. The more and more that we study His Word, then the more we do what we are supposed to do in His will instead of doing what our physical body wants us to do in everything.
Exactly. Yep. All right. Thank you. Anything else? Good comments. Thank you so much. In the Old Testament, metaphorically, bridle denotes many times God's control over Israel's enemies. I want to look at that for just a second. 2 Kings 19. Because your rage against me and your tumult, I have come up to my ears. I've had it up to here, God says. You ever done that? I've had it up to here. Well, God hadn't had it up to here. He's had it up to here. Up to my ears. Therefore, I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came. Isaiah 30, verse 28. His breath is like an overflowing stream which reaches up to the neck to sift the nations with a sieve of futility. I think you have to say that with a little snarl in your voice. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people causing them to err. God's going to control them. And so Dwayne's right in the direction, because God, we want God's word to control us, to be a part of us. Isaiah 37:29 is really almost the same as 2 Kings, but I want to go ahead and read it. Because your rage against me and your tumult, I've come up to my ears up there. I've had it up to here. Therefore, I put my hook in your nose, my bridle in your lips, and will turn you back. It's pretty much the exact same scripture, but different books. Christians must have an understanding. Understanding. Psalms 32. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. They have to be trained. Don't be like that. If you're a Christian, then you need to be submissive to God's word already, and understand it, and how to apply it. And so to Doug's point, and to Dwayne's point, and to several others, we have to understand God's will and let it guide us, and get the germ of evil out of our minds that starts those lusts. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And be submissive to God rather than submissive to evil. That's right. He had the hook in his mouth. And it probably came out the side. Yep. Yep. Yep.
One way or another, it's going to happen. It's easier to submit.
God's people bridle themselves with understanding and are therefore obedient to God. And that's our job as children of God or prospective children of God, is that we have to understand that we have to bridle ourselves. Psalms 49, verse 3, my mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. We have to not only read it, but we have to reason it out, understand it, and get help doing that as we go forward in our walk as a Christian. Psalm 49, a man who is in honor yet does not understand, he's just like the beasts that perish. He doesn't understand. He's just living his life as a beast. So as a child of God, we have a responsibility to understand God's will. Is God going to implant it without us doing anything? No. The way we do that is the old-fashioned way. We got to study, and we got to reason, and we got to sharpen iron sharpeneth iron. We'll talk about it with other people of like faith, and we'll understand it better. We have to understand it, else you won't know how to apply it in your every situation, every day that you come up against. Psalms 110, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you fear the Lord? Him who is able to save your soul in heaven or send it to hell? We need to have a healthy fear of the Lord. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. We have to understand. Psalms 119, give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Psalms 119:73, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Not just learn the commandments, learn how to apply the commandments. Give me understanding, a depth of understanding, not just a surface reading the words on a piece of paper. All right. Christians bridle their tongue and whole body with wisdom and understanding. And people have alluded that it's through the Word of God for certain, for sure. James chapter 3, for we all stumble many things. We saw this just a minute ago, but look at the next phrase. If anyone does not stumble in the Word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. It's about the Word. It's about the doctrine of Christ. It's about all the teachings that are in that New Testament with references that help us understand in the Old Testament. And so we have to understand. James 3, verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Who is wise and understanding? If you consider yourself wise and understand God's word, show that by how you conduct your works and how meekness you are and how wise you are. Yes, sir. And that it kind of illustrates your wisdom and your understanding of God's word. Yes, sir. Thank you. I may have that scripture, but that's all right. I don't know that. Let me see here. James 3, verse 17 and 18. But the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now there's a list for us to achieve or to aspire to be pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so we have a lot of work to do. And there is no one of us who, in quotes, has arrived from a understanding standpoint. till the last breath, we need to be studying God's Word and understanding it more deeply, or understanding a new part of it that we didn't understand before, and helping others understand if we're so inclined and have the knowledge to do that. And so it's not that I'm coasting now for the rest of my life because I've been baptized and I know a few things. Well, are you teaching what you know? Well, then you're not done. Are you understanding stuff that you didn't really understand before? Then you're not done. Are you helping others understand? No, then you're not done. You're never done. We're never done with this bridling our whole body with wisdom and understanding. Christians must exercise control over their tongue. We've looked at these two again, but this is the point. If you think you're religious and don't bridle your tongue, you're deceiving yourself. Oh, well, and by the way, that religion that you're fooling with, it's really not doing you any good, because we haven't done the things that we need to do to bridle our tongue, and not just act like we have. James chapter 3, verse 2, we all stumble. Yes, we do. If we stumble, what then? Okay, good. I was hoping somebody would say that. Yes. So we got a way to get back on track. It's not like, well, it's over. We all stumble. Except Jesus, everyone stumbles. Has stumbled, probably will stumble. Ah, here's that word again from last lesson. Licentiousness. We said that lust was the germ of the evil, and licentiousness was the acting out of that, you know, after it's matured, acting it out. Licentiousness is unbridled lust and an absence of restraint. And so that we're falling back a couple of times, maybe a few more than a couple, back on our lust lesson. Licentiousness is unbridled lust, unbridled, not restrained lust. Right, so we have the lust in our minds, and then the licentiousness is the unstrained lust. We're acting it out. Absence of restraint. And so if you don't get the lust, if you don't get it out, then you're likely to start acting it out, and then you've progressed from lust to licentiousness. True Christians are not licentious because they restrain or bridle themselves. Okay? They restrain or bridle themselves. They watch themselves. It's like they're outside their body watching themselves. So that, we can't do that. No, we can't think that. No, you can't act that way. You gotta calm down and not do those things. No, you know, nobody can do it for you. And if you don't do it, then it won't get done. Simple as that. All right, let's look at a couple of scriptures here. In Romans 13, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Walk properly. Should have put that in quotes, I guess. There's a proper way to do things for a godly person. And those other words there, they don't describe a godly person. Revelry, drunkenness, lewdness, lust, strife, envy. Yeah. Don't let it happen. Don't give it room. Make no provision. Don't carve out a spot for it, which, you know, that's what people do who are trying to, play on both sides of the fence. They'll carve out a spot for that and leave it there and use it later when they're not around people who wouldn't approve. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh, and here's the list: adultery, fornication. Those are the kind of what we think about. We said in the lust lesson that's what kind of comes up, in everybody's mind when they start talking about that. But uncleanness, lewdness, not full-blown adultery or fornication, but lewdness, alluding to those kind of things. Idolatry, wait a minute, where's my little carved idol? What's he talking about here, idolatry? Anything you put before God is your idol. Oh. So what am I doing when my fellow Christians are in Bible study on Wednesday night? I'm putting, there are extenuating circumstances, but is it just something I want to do and therefore I'm blowing off the Bible study? Are you making an idol of that thing? Is it a one-time, one-off, or is it becoming a habit? Who can decide that? You. You better start self-examining. In most companies, I don't know what y'all experience is, but most companies have a performance review where theoretically it's you and your boss and you sit down and you talk about the things you've done and what you could improve on and all that kind of stuff. You got to do a performance review with yourself as a Christian. What have I done right? What have I done wrong? What do I need to improve on? Because if you don't do that, it won't get done. And then if it doesn't get done, then who's going to bridle you? You haven't bridled yourself. Bridling is parcel to this self-examination and watching yourself and so forth. Sorcery. I don't know. Sorcery. Well, if you're involved in a false doctrine or you get swept away because you didn't increase your understanding and then you get swept away by a false doctrine, then maybe that's sorcery. Hatred, contentious, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. Might get a couple of us. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Self-examination. Bridle yourself. No one else can do it. If we do not stumble in word, we are perfect, able to bridle the whole body. James 3:2. We looked at that two or three times. There it is. If we do not bridle our tongue, our religion is worthless. James 1:26. We've looked at that two or three times. We are not keeping, if we do not bridle our tongue, we're not keeping ourselves unstained from the world. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's your job. Now, I can help you, but I can't do it for you. If we don't bridle our tongue, we'll be judged for every idle word. Matthew 12:36, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. God doesn't forget. We might forget. God doesn't forget. If I'm going too fast and you need a comment, just let me know. Before we can be perfect by bridling or controlling our whole body, we must first control our tongue. James 3:2, which we've seen a couple of times. And as we control a horse with his mouth and a ship with a rudder, we can control our body. We can control our body when we control our tongue. James 3, verse 3 through 5. We put bits in a horse's mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Let me see if I can get this in. If we do not control our tongue, our entire body is defiled. I'm going to probably stop here because James 3, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell, by the devil. All right, we'll stop there. We'll take this up on Wednesday night. Thank you.